Welcome to Daily in the Word. Hi, this is Kerry Schmidt, Director of Striving Together Publications. If you're interested in biblically sound and practically relevant resources for spiritual growth, I invite you to visit strivingtogether.com. At Striving Together, we're laboring every day to produce books, curriculum, music, and local church resources that will encourage and equip believers to live their faith. From all over the globe, we're hearing stories every day of how God is changing lives through these resources. Striving Together is committed to conservative biblical doctrine and values, and we're committed to supporting local church ministry. Visit us today at strivingtogether.com or call toll-free 1-800-201-7748. Again, that's 1-800-201-7748. This world is filled with quick-fix solutions that don't last and, frankly, don't work. We're all facing difficult questions and circumstances beyond our control. Are you up against the wall? Well, Jesus can make the difference. Next on Daily in the Word, we're going to find out how with Dr. Paul Chappell. Diets to self-help books to relationships and career decisions to family issues, every human being is looking for something that will make a difference, looking for solutions to questions that are bigger than us. Does this describe you? I know it describes me at times. Well, next on Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, we're going to study the difference that Jesus makes, because we really do believe, the Bible is clear, Jesus Christ is really the difference that every one of us is longing for in our hearts. Welcome to Daily in the Word. I'm Kerry Schmidt, your host, and this program features the teaching and the preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Our current series, The Difference That Jesus Makes. We're going to discover that Jesus is the solution that truly does make a difference for all of eternity. Before we join today's message, I do want to invite you to visit us at dailyintheword.org. This is the best way to interface with us at Daily in the Word and let us know that you're listening. Click on the Contact Us button, jot us a quick email, and let us know that our program is touching your life. Would you prayerfully consider partnering with us and contributing to our airtime support? Every dollar you invest into Daily in the Word goes directly into paying for the costs of airtime that we might continue teaching and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and the Word of God all across the country. On the website, you'll find a host of other resources and information, locations where Pastor Chappell will be speaking in the coming months, also linked to the Alaska cruise information and so many other resources. It's all to be found at dailyintheword.org. But first today, we're turning to Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 12. The final message in this series is entitled, Trusting God Makes a Difference. Friend, where do you place your hope and your trust, your expectation? Let's find out what happens when you place your expectation in God.
Well, there is no greater ingredient in a relationship than the ingredient of trust. And someone might say, well, Pastor Chappell, don't you know we just had Valentine's Day and there's hearts everywhere and everyone's telling each other they love each other and love is supreme and love is the most important ingredient. And I'm sure there's a case for that, but I have been around a lot of people who said they loved each other, but they just flat out didn't trust each other. Underneath all the words and the cards concerning love, there was doubt. They just weren't sure. There was a lack of trust. How many of you have noticed that the devil is an expert at breaking trust in relationships? And especially biblical relationships. He is an expert at causing people to doubt, causing people to wonder. But trust is vital in knowing God, and trust is vital with growing in the grace of God. That's why one songwriter hit it right on the head years ago when he wrote the little chorus, "Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey." We as God's children are here today to learn how to trust Him day by day. Now, the psalmist said in Psalm 20 and verse 7, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Now, trusting God in stewardship, as we learned last week, means that we come to a place where we reckon that everything comes from Him, and we are simply stewarding or managing all of His blessings in our lives. And we are to be the stewards of God's possessions. And in order to do that, it takes faith, because sometimes we want to manage things in a way that makes sense to us. But the Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please God, for the Bible commands us to come to Him with a heart of faith as concerning our everyday lives. And so what does it really mean to trust God? How does that find a workable reality into our everyday lives? I want you to notice, first of all, that God wants us to trust Him with surrender. If we truly trust God, we are trusting with surrender, a completely surrendered heart. Notice in verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Let's say that together, shall we? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. That means then we're to surrender from the heart. It means we're setting aside our worry, our idea. And from the heart, we surrender to the Lord. Now, we're living in a day when people don't trust so many institutions. There's very little trust in the governmental agencies today, and in many cases, rightfully so. There's very little trust in the religious circles, and in some cases, rightfully so. There seems to be a lack of trust in families at times, and there's a lack of trust for corporate America today and financial institutions. It's just as though there is very little trust at all. And here is God saying, by the way, I want you to trust me, not just a little bit, but with all your heart. Now, we have these built-in defense mechanisms that cause us to want to rely on self and hedge our bets. But God says, I want those gates put down. I want you to trust me. I want you to have confidence in me with all your heart. Now, how many of you have figured out that trust is the opposite of worry? Don't raise your hands. How many of you have done a little bit of worrying this last week? God says, I don't want you to worry. God says, I want you to trust. Larry Burkett, in his book, Your Finances in Changing Times, said, we tend to look at the future with anxiety and worry. God says that worry is a sin. What is worry? Taking on a responsibility that belongs to someone else. God says, when it comes to you, if I can clothe the fields with flowers, and if I can feed the sparrows all around this planet, and if I can keep the planet held up in space, would you just let me take care of you? Trust me. Someone said, worry betrays a fragile faith. It is an unconscious blasphemy. It is an unconscious way of saying, I'm just not too sure about God's ability to take care of this situation. But God says, I want you to trust me with all your heart. And the way that kind of trust gets built, the reason some people have it and some people don't, is because if you are filling your heart with the Word of God, your trust grows stronger. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You show me the average Christian today in a church that has little Bible preaching and he or she does little Bible reading throughout the week. They are scared to death about the economy. They are worried about tomorrow. But show me someone who's filling their heart up with the Bible and they just keep trusting their Lord. You see, trust the Lord, it says. Now let's take a look at this. Trust in the Lord. The words here, the Lord, are reminders of the word Jehovah. In fact, that is what the word Lord means. Jehovah is the name of God that speaks of Him as being an eternal living being, one who had no beginning but always was and always will be. Therefore, the promise that we receive here, the challenge that we receive to trust in the Lord comes from a God who is unchanging. Malachi spoke of this in Malachi 3:6. For I am the Lord, I change not. Now, that's a good thing, folks, because economies change and family relationships change, and yet God says, I never change. Numbers 23 and verse 19, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. And hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? How many of you have had somebody promise you something and they didn't make it good? You ever had somebody say, can I borrow 10 bucks? I'm good for it. They're good for nothing in most cases, aren't they? But God says, I'm good for it. God says, if I tell you to trust me, you can put your confidence in me. Now, the trust must have an object, or our faith must have an object, and the object of our faith here this morning is not the new stimulus package. It's not in the government. It's not in some other program. But the object of our faith is in the Lord. He is the object of our faith. And so God says, I want you to surrender your heart to me. You may have some doubts about a lot of other stuff, but don't ever let the devil put doubt in your mind about the trustworthiness of God. Surrender from your heart. Secondly, surrender to his will. God says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Now, our understanding is limited. The word lean not means exactly what you might think it means to be supported by something. God says, don't try to prop yourself up with your best understanding of what's going on in the world today. He that trusteth in his own heart, Proverbs says, is a fool. You see, man cannot trust his own heart. Your heart and mine are not trustworthy. You say, well, I'm a good person. I have a good heart. And all of us do to some extent. But all of us, if we are honest, have times where there's thoughts, concerns, worries that come across our heart. And even you and I stop and think, where did that come from? Anybody like that? Most of you are just so pure-hearted, you know, forget it. I'm trying to, but how many of you would say, I understand, my heart sometimes is, it needs an alignment from the Holy Spirit, right? Okay. Jeremiah tells us that. You don't want to believe me, let's believe the Bible then. Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, who can know it? In other words, your heart is not always a reliable compass. The Word of God is always a reliable compass. And so we've got to surrender to him and to his word because our understanding is limited. I love the quote in your notes by Margaret Clarkson. And I want you to think about these words. It says this, nothing comes your way that has not first passed through the filter of his love. The sovereignty of God is one impregnable rock to which the suffering human heart must cling. The circumstances surrounding our lives are no accident. They may be the work of evil, but that evil is held firmly within the might of our sovereign God. All evil is subject to him, and evil cannot touch his children unless he permits it. God is the Lord of human history and the personal history of every member of his redeemed family. My friend, no matter what you face, God is in control. Our understanding may be limited, but God always has a reason and a way. We'll hear Brother Hamilton sing a wonderful song, probably his most familiar song will be sung tonight. It's simply entitled, Rejoice in the Lord. And it teaches us that no matter what we experience in life, that we can always trust in the Lord, even when our understanding may be limited. Notice secondly, his direction is reliable. His direction is reliable. Notice that in verse 6. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Now, some of you learned this verse when you were kids, but some are just learning it today. So let's all say it together. Verse 6, ready to begin. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he... All right. Now, God says, I want you to acknowledge my direction, because while your heart is not always reliable, my direction is always reliable. Now, what about when trials come into our life? Can we rely on his direction then? That's when you need to rely on it the most. Whenever I see Christians get into great stress and pressure and anxiety and frustration and make decisions in the middle of that, normally it's the wrong decision. Normally they leave a relationship, they leave a location, they leave a company, they do stuff that they regret later. You see, friend, when you're going through trials, you need his direction more than ever. And God wants us to acknowledge him even when things aren't going great. I heard of a missionary that was doing some short-term missions work over in Tobago, the island of Tobago. And as he was there working, he had the privilege of helping in churches. And in one ministry, they ministered to those in a leper colony. And he was asked, as he was there, to help in some of the musical events because he had some background in music. And so on his final day at the missions trip, he went to the leper colony, and he was there leading the singing for the service. And as the service was getting ready to start, he walked in and greeted some folks. And then he said, all right, let's gather together. Who has a favorite song that they would like to sing? And when he said that, a figure turned towards him. He wasn't sure at first if it was a man or a woman. He figured that it probably was a woman because There was longer hair in the back, but he said that as he looked at this person, the person had no ears, the person had no nose, most of the lips had been eaten away by the leprosy. And he said, having asked the question, who would like to sing a song and who has a favorite song, this individual raised a fingerless hand and said, can we sing the song, Count Your Many Blessings? The missionary said he could hardly sing the song himself after the request was given. He had been in the presence of a person who knew how to acknowledge God in all her ways. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him. His direction in trials. Secondly, we see His direction in chastening. We'll not spend a lot of time, but you'll notice in verse 11, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord. Sometimes we have trials that are given to refine our faith. Sometimes we have chastening because our faith is not what God wants it to be and we have been disobedient to God. And God doesn't chasten us because He hates us. God chastens us because He loves us. And someone says, well, I just don't believe in a God like that. Well, you don't believe in the God of the Bible. God loves you too much to let you mess around without getting your attention. And the Bible says in Hebrews 12:6, for whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. God has a purpose in this chastening, and that is to get your direction back on course. And so He says, in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct thy path. Acknowledge Him in your trials. Acknowledge Him in times of chastening. Thirdly, acknowledge Him for direction daily. We need to know daily where He wants us to go. The Bible is so very clear that God wants us looking for Him in His Word and looking for His direction each and every day. When our girls were young, maybe 15 or 20 years ago, I would leave the office after a long day's work, and sometimes I'd call ahead and tell my wife I was on my way home. And oftentimes, as I would come home, I'd turn around the corner, I'd see two little faces peering out through the window, maybe through the blinds, and sometimes those little cheeks up against the glass. And then I'd come in the driveway, and their eyes would get wide, and the door would open. They'd say, Daddy, Daddy, Daddy's home. They'd grab me around the knees, and we'd wrestle around a while and play and maybe sing some songs, enjoy some time together. I mean, they were wired up like they'd been eating coffee beans all day or something. They just couldn't wait to see me when I got home. And you know, they loved seeing Daddy. And I wonder, when was the last time that you really looked forward to being with God like that? When you were just acknowledging His presence, and when you came to church just waiting to see God at work in your life, and when you opened the Bible anxious to hear what God had for you, acknowledging Him. You see, He says, I want you to trust me with a surrendered heart. I want you to look for my way with great joy in your life. But notice, secondly, trusting the Lord not only means a surrendered heart, but it means a heart of sincerity. God says, I want you to trust me with sincerity. You see, here's one of the great problems of the Christian life. A lot of people say, oh yeah, trust God. I've done that for years. I trust God. But it's not always with the kind of heart that we see described here in the text. Notice verse 7. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. Very quickly, I want you to notice that sincerity is humble. When someone is really sincere about trusting God, there's a humility in their life. There is such a God consciousness and God dependability, God dependence, that there is obviously a humble Christian in your midst. Romans 12:16, be of the same mind one toward another, mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Now, one of God's antidotes to help us from becoming proud is that we are to walk in the fear of the Lord. Notice that, if you would, in verse 7. Fear the Lord. You see, that is the opposite of being filled with conceit. One who has the fear of God has an awareness constantly of the awesome power of God, the righteousness of God, the holiness of God. Proverbs 16:6, by mercy and truth iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord men depart from evil. You know why our penitentiaries are so filled in California today that there is discussion in Sacramento of letting 50,000 felons out of jail as we sit here right now? You know why we cannot build prisons fast enough? Because America has lost this concept of the fear of God. There's no fear for God. There's no fear of His precepts. And the fact is that when someone is trusting the Lord, they walk in the fear of the Lord, because this matter of sincerity is evidenced with humility. William Carey was a man who walked with great humility, perhaps the greatest Baptist missionary that ever lived, the father of modern missions. Here's a man who translated the Bible into more than 20 languages. He started churches. He started a college that's still functioning in India today, many years later. And he said to his family, "On my gravestone, I want these words etched: a wretched, poor, and helpless worm, on thy kind arms I fall." He said, "That's what I am. Apart from acknowledging God and getting His direction, I'm just a worm." How many of you would say this morning, "I'm just a sinner saved by the grace of God"? But we need to be reminded of that, because sometimes we get into that autonomous mode where we're doing what we want to do and we don't acknowledge God as we should. And so sincerity is humble. Secondly, sincerity is holy. Someone who's trusting God and fearing God, listen to me, their life is different. If you're trusting the Lord in all your ways, and if you're walking in the fear of God, then you're not going to be more and more like the world. You're going to be more and more like God. You say, "Well, my friends think I'm weird." That's all right. You're not to live in the fear of man. You're to live in the fear of God. And the Bible is clear about this. Notice that in verse 7. "Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord." Let's read the next four words, please. "And depart from evil." Let's say it again. "And depart from evil." Sincerity is holy. A sincere Christian lives a holy, separated life. Romans 16, 19. Notice the last part of that verse. "But yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil." All right, let's say that last phrase of that verse together. Ready, begin. "But yet I would have you wise unto that which is good." All right, wise to the good, simple to the evil.
Well, you've been listening to Pastor Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College, on today's edition of Daily in the Word. We are studying a series entitled "The Difference That Jesus Makes." We're discovering that Jesus is not a quick fix or a self-help solution. He is the eternal truth. He is the God-man that wants to come into your life and have a personal relationship with you. Friend, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, we invite you to make that decision right now. You, wherever you are, you could bow your head and heart and invite Him into your life as your personal Savior. He will come in and save you, and it is the greatest decision you could ever make. We would love to know if you have trusted Christ as a result of listening to Daily in the Word. Would you take a moment and write to us or call us or contact us via the website? Let us send you a Bible. Let us help you grow in your Christian faith. Before we wrap up today's edition of Daily in the Word, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with a word of personal greeting.
We're excited about the Alaska cruise coming August 6th through 13th, 2011. I want to invite all of our Daily in the Word listeners to plan now to join with us as we sail north to Alaska, take time daily around the Word of God, enjoy good Christian music, and great fellowship with fellow believers. August 6th through 13th, 2011 will mark a wonderful celebration of God's goodness and grace, and I hope you'll plan to join with us as we sail together to Alaska.
The easiest way to contact us here at Daily in the Word is to visit dailyintheword.org and simply click on the button that says "Contact Us." You can send us an email, give us information about yourself, and let us know that our program is ministering to you. We rejoice greatly every time we hear from our listeners, and we know that our program is touching your life. While you're on the website, I encourage you to take a moment and explore. You'll find a lot of resources to help you grow in your Christian life. If you enjoyed today's message, you could hear it again, you could download it, you could give it to a friend and refer those you love. You could also subscribe to the Daily in the Word podcast and other podcasts from our ministry. But the Daily in the Word podcast will download this program to your iPod or computer or your portable player at your convenience. You can listen to it anytime on the go. You can refer a friend to Daily in the Word if perhaps this program is not broadcast in their area. A lot of other information can be found on the site. One thing I would like to ask you to do in specific, and that is to prayerfully consider contributing and supporting the ministry of Daily in the Word, even on a regular monthly basis. Regardless of the size of your gift to Daily in the Word, your gift will be invested into the airtime costs of this program all across the country. We love to minister. We love to teach and preach the Word of God. But it's listeners like you who faithfully contribute and help us accomplish this mission that really make it possible. If you'd like to be a part of our ministry, you can click on the donate button when you visit dailyintheword.org. Again, that's dailyintheword.org. If you'd like to talk to us personally, call us toll-free, 1-800-201-7748. Again, that's 1-800-201-7748. Or you can write to us at Daily in the Word, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Once again, that's Daily in the Word, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Thanks so much for being a part of this edition of Daily in the Word. And until next time, have a great day.